In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed.
I spent a little bit of time last week describing how for the Sundays of Pascha, the Sundays after Pascha, we would try and focus on the lessons that are given to us in the Acts of the Apostles. And both this week and next week, the lessons that we read from the Acts of the Apostles are lessons about how the resurrection changes even the value of human labor. How the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes the way that we impact the world as we do what we are called to do as members of the church. This week in particular is about the work which we do together, the work which we do as a group, as a body of baptized and believing disciples of Jesus Christ who dwell and work in unity. Next week, we will hear how the resurrection even changes our lives as individual workers in the world, as teachers or lawyers or homemakers or assembly line workers. But that's next week. This week, we take up that question, how does the resurrection change the work which you and I do together as church in the world in obedience to those commandments of Jesus Christ? And in this morning's reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear of a growing church. But the apostles were not simply hard at work preaching and teaching and praying. They were also ministering to the physical needs of those in the community. There was a daily distribution, a daily ministration is how it was phrased in today's translation. A daily distribution was organized to meet the material needs of those who could not support themselves, and in particular, the Acts of the Apostles mentions the widows. And this is, of course, as it should be. Jesus Christ did not simply come to teach and to preach and to pray. He fed the hungry. He visited the sick. He confronted injustice. He brought comfort to the grieving. He washed feet. He served others so that they might have enough to live. And he was the one man who could do all of these things. We, of course, are limited. We are limited human beings. And there's no single one of us that can do everything that Jesus did. But as a body, as a group, our Lord does command us to do these things. And to each of us, he gives a special role in the life of the church. So even though individually we cannot accomplish all that he did, when you sum it up, when you take the total, what we do as a church should be a perfect copy, a kind of crystal clear scan of what our Lord did during his earthly ministry. And today, this morning, we hear how things were going really well for the church in Jerusalem, but a little too well. The apostles simply could not keep up, especially with the demands of the daily distributions to the widows. With all these changes, with all of these new faces in the crowd, with this growing church, there was one group of widows, the Hellenists. These were the Greek-speaking Jewish widows. The Hellenists began to feel like preference was being given to the Hebraic Jews, those traditional Jewish widows who spoke only Aramaic but not Greek. And the widows began to grumble, and that's not a good sign. In response, the apostles decide to appoint some specialists. These are those that we call the first deacons in the church. They're led by the archdeacon and later the first martyr, Stephen. And there were seven in all. And scripture reports that these deacons were blessed by the apostles to take over the ministry of mercy. And scripture says that all were pleased. And that because of making this adjustment, quote, "Then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great number of priests kept the faith." From our reading this morning, we should notice, I would think, three important features of the work which the church is called to do as a church, as a group. The work which you and I, as and all Christians, are called to do in unity, unity of faith, and unity in love for our risen Lord. Here's the first thing. That work we do, no matter what it is, that work is apostolic. It's one of the big words that we hear in church a lot. The work that we do as church is apostolic. We know that we confess that our church is the one true apostolic church. Our church is the one true church which directly succeeds and descends from the apostles. That what we teach and that what we proclaim is the full and complete message which was given by our Lord to his apostles and which they began to then deliver to the entire world. And we usually think of that apostolic succession, that descending from the apostles. We usually think of that in terms of our bishops. Our bishops were ordained, or as we say, consecrated by earlier bishops. Those bishops were ordained or consecrated by earlier bishops, and so on, back into the past until you finally reach the apostles. And all of this is true, but it's only part of the picture. You see, the apostles did not just lay hands on those who were to become new bishops. They laid their hands on all who served in the church's ministries to this world. The blessing of Jesus Christ through his apostles were given to those seven holy men to make sure that the widows were surviving and that their needs were met. That's huge. Our church and our work as church together is apostolic. This does not simply apply to the clergy. It applies to everything that the church does as a group in the name of Jesus Christ. When we minister to the poor and needy, we are acting in the traditions of Jesus and his apostles. When we visit the sick and the elderly, when we serve on the parish council, when we gather together in worship, regardless of the day of the week, when we help to support the church through our own sacrificial giving, when we teach in the church school, when we sing in the choir, that work is work commissioned from the apostles by the laying on of hands. And this means that it's important. It is the sort of work that changes people, and by changing people, changes the world. It is the sort of work for which Jesus Christ was sent into the world, work for which he died trying to complete, and work which he now continues to complete through us, through his church. So the first thing we should always remember about our work together is that it is straight from the apostles. It is apostolic. The second is that though the work might be material, the consequences are always spiritual. Always. There's a reason for that first feature. There's a reason that the apostles insisted that ministry to the widows required a special blessing. There's a reason that the apostles desired to ordain those ministers by laying their hands on their heads and praying over them. And that's because working with the widows was a dangerous job. And this isn't just because widows back then knew that if they did not get that daily distribution, their lives were in jeopardy. That may have been true, but working with the widows was a dangerous job because the evil one does not want us to reach out in love to one another. He does not want us to share one another's burdens. He does not want us to help each other. The evil one likes it when communion is broken. The evil one likes it when we profess faith but do not try to live lives of righteousness and mercy. He likes it when we come to church here and there, but then when we go back home or go back to work, when we forget about church the rest of the week, returning to worldly ways of living, unaffected by the great grace given to us on Sundays. And so when you and I try and reach out to others in love, you better believe that the evil one will come at us with everything that he can marshal. That is why the apostles desired to give their special blessings to give the power granted to them by our Lord himself to those in charge of the church's ministries. Stephen, Saint Stephen, we know, very quickly gets into trouble. He may have been commissioned to help feed the widows, but by the very next chapter, the enemies of the church have seized and condemned him and have put him to death. This is why working with the widows is so dangerous. This is why visiting the sick and visiting the elderly is so dangerous. This is why helping others in the name of our Lord, helping others simply because we love them, because they matter. When we do this, we can expect the same thing to happen to us as happened to Jesus. There's always going to be opposition. The evil one does not want us to love this world. Right now, it's his world. And he wants us to keep our nose out of his business. And he will defend his territory. And he will try and take back what we dare to try and save as members of the body of Jesus Christ. But Jesus came precisely to take back this world. Every last part, every little bit of it. He's a jealous God. He's the Savior of the world, and when we do the church's work in the world, we are choosing sides. And so we can expect to be opposed by the forces in this world which want to keep things crummy and dying. Feeding the hungry does not just make a physical difference in someone's life. It makes a spiritual difference. And it proves to them that we think they matter and that they are worth our time. In St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says that if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. And this is a message which the evil one will fight to the death to smother. How appropriate it is that the first martyr of the church, the archdeacon and proto-martyr Stephen, was someone who took bread to old Jewish women. Third. So first we said that the work that we do together as church is apostolic, blessed by the apostles. Second, that work is always spiritual. Third, church work, kind of church busyness, cannot be separated from the work of the church. So often we think of preaching and teaching and prayer as the main business of the church. The true work which the church is called to do is baptizing and teaching the nations as Christ commands. And we think that's the true work of the church. Everything else, feeding the poor, visiting the sick, being nice, all of that is just what we're supposed to do. They are ornamentations, things on the side. They're important. But if someone has to choose between going to, say, the Passion Gospels service on Holy Thursday night, between that and going to spend time with a friend who has just lost her mother, we need to go and spend time with the friend. Spending time with others in deep need will be your Holy Matins of Holy Friday. And that's okay. The Lord and his angels will rejoice. It's just as important to do the one as to do the other. In Acts this morning, there is a very clear connection between the spread of love and the spread of the word, where love and mercy in particular do not flow freely. The word of God doesn't spread. The number of disciples do not increase. The priests do not hold fast to the faith, as it said in Acts. Mercy that is active and faithful and consistent, that kind of mercy. Mercy which is always on. That is the engine which drove the expansion in the early church. And churches where there is not a strong commitment to the needs in the community around them, those are churches in which there are no new disciples, no changed lives, no healing, no forgiveness, no hope, no joy, and no expectation. In places like that where hearts are closed, the doors will always soon close thereafter. This morning, brothers and sisters, we are called to remember in this particular way But the resurrection does change everything. In particular, this morning we are called to remember that even giving a loaf of bread to someone is something of very deep significance. Our Lord is a Savior who blesses and breaks bread. He is one who can multiply a single loaf into countless thousands. But if we keep our treasures and our time and our talents, our passions, our interests, our resources, if we keep them for ourselves, if we do not offer them to others in love, then we might as well just hand Jesus a pink slip and say that his labor is no longer needed in the church. This morning, the apostles, they are laying their hands on you and on me. And they are saying, go and do good. Go and show mercy, love righteousness. Go and seek justice. And don't just hear the words of God. But like the apostles who are sent forth in power from Jerusalem in the book of Acts, may we go forth from this place in power and not just hear that word, but accomplish it for the glory of God and with thankful hearts for all things. Amen. Christ is risen.
Amen.